I turned back to Jaya. You all right? Her eyes opened, and she nodded. I lowered her head, still keeping the cloth at her nose, which continued to bleed. She took the handkerchief from my hand, held it at her nostrils, and smeared the blood on her face. Harriet tried to give her a hand towel, but Jaya held on to the handkerchief and started toward the top of the quay where the rest of her team congregated. We moved off the court as I glanced up at the scoreboard, then the clock. The Lady Morning Stars had 34 seconds to win, place, or tie. I took a seat next to the Cheyenne Nation. Was that my imagination, or did Teresa One Moon just now recreate the offense that got her 4 weeks in the Yellowstone County Jail? What the heck is she doing out in the free world? Good behavior. I looked toward the lobby, but could see neither Teresa nor Lolo. Well, that didn't last long. Turning back toward the court, I watched as Jaya continued to hold the now saturated handkerchief to her face. The referee was studying her, but Jaya waved him away, removing the cloth as the players lined up on either side of the key. She stuffed the sodden handkerchief in the elastic band of her shorts, took the ball from the ref, and stepped up to the foul line. She swiped at her nose at the back of her hand, causing it to bleed even more. Bouncing the ball once, she swept her arms up like a swan taking flight, the ball reverse-spinning as it swished through the net. The other players moved into the lane, but she didn't budge an inch. The ref retrieved the ball and then raised a finger, handing it back to Jaya as she spun it in her hands, blood smeared along the lower half of her face. A few of the Colster players smirked at her, but she took a moment to hold the ball in one hand before wiping the blood away with the palm of her other. Starting to reach for the handkerchief again, she realized the officials were likely to call a timeout, so instead she placed the bloody hand over the lower part of her face, palming her mouth. The war paint effect was dramatic as she turned to the Colster players and finally the stands, shouting, "Komae!" The Cheyenne in the stands cheered as the bear leaned toward me and translated, "A bit more." I shook my head as she turned back to the basket and sank the second shot like a foregone conclusion. The Colster players moved into position quickly in hopes of ending the game and getting out of there as fast as possible, aiming to retain possession or lure the Cheyenne players into fouling them. There was one Lady Star in particular who was likely to try to exact some sense of vengeance. The ball came in, and the Colster player tried to ease it up the sideline. Harriet screamed at her players as the seconds ticked by, "Don't foul them! Don't do it!" Jaya approached the half-court line, drifting in the direction of the oncoming player as the rest of the team set up a defense behind her. I listened to Henry's voice rumble in his chest, "Steady." Jaya's sole focus was on the ball, as the seconds swept past, and you could see the nervousness in the Colster players as they grew closer together on a head-on trajectory. "Steady." As the Colster player crossed the half-court line, Jaya feinted in her direction and the ball handler panicked, palming the ball up to pass it away to another teammate who ran toward her on Jaya's right. Reading the player's move, Jaya lunged forward, slapping the ball away back toward the other basket. The other players closed fast, but Jaya was in full stride, getting into position to win the game. Bounding down the court with two players right on her tail, I watched as she stopped dead at the top of the key, the other two sliding past as she lifted the ball up and let it sail, the clock ticking down to 2 seconds as it left her hands. About 300 people came to their feet. The ball arced through the air in what seemed like slow motion, and I was sure it was going to hit the backboard, but it didn't. Instead, striking the base of the metal hoop, which sent it skyward again, rubbing a little speed off on the glass. It seemed to pause there, not moving for just an instant, and I watched as Jaya turned and walked toward the door at the far end of the gymnasium. It was as if she'd done her job and there was nothing more to do. Lunch pail. The ball dropped through the hoop. The gymnasium went ballistic. Jaya Long was already gone. Henry and I skirted the crowds, celebrating at the base of the bleachers, and followed Jaya's trail. The majority of the team was still out there on the floor, but Harriet was behind us as we made it to the locker room. "That was something." "Yes, it was," she smiled. "I'll go in and check on her to see if we need to get her over to the clinic." I folded my arms and leaned against the wall. "Roger that." She disappeared inside, and I glanced at the bear. "Think you could beat her?"
"Yes."
"Really?"
"Yes."
"Kind of sure of yourself?" He shrugged in a very sure way.
"Yes."
The door reopened and Harriet looked at the two of us. "She's not in here." Pushing off the wall, I sighed. "Maybe she just went home." She always takes a shower after a game. I glanced at Henry, and we both turned, moving quickly toward the back door that led to the small parking lot, where the coaches, staff, and Jaya Long sometimes parked. I pushed through the doors and glanced around as a few snow flurries fell. Directly under a lamppost, haloed in the drifting flakes, was a 64 Buick Wildcat. Henry got there first, and then, confirming my fears, he glanced around. Moving to the left, I reached to the small of my back and unholstered my 45. I looked to the glistening ramp that led toward the front of the school, and walking up it, I could see something lying in the middle of the road. I kneeled and picked up the bloody handkerchief.